Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And yes, we are back. We are back here on Thursday evenings, and we are back live. This is live internet radio, folks. We are not on tape. And to be back here live on Thursday nights, I have a very lively guest. I have the Reverend Goddess Charmaine with me here. Well, almost here. She's in Jersey. I'm here in Queens, New York, but we're connected over the phone here. And I'm very happy that she is my guest tonight for the full hour.
Thank you.
Well, Goddess, blessings to you, darling.
Thank you. Same to you.
And let me have the name of your website.
Oh, it's sensuousmystic.com. I am the Sensuous Mystic, LLC.
So go right to that, to your website, and check that out, www.sensuousmystic.com.
Yes.
And I just want to say what a fabulous-looking website you have here.
Oh, well, my web guy has a lot of work to do every full moon, so he deserves the prop. I keep him busy.
And a lot of great, you have a lot of great upcoming workshops. In fact, you're having one tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, my Sacred Middle Intensive. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I really get into the flow of the way sexual energy moves through our body, and it's coming from the sex center up our spine, at the crown chakra, and down the front through the heart, belly, and out again through our genitals. And the intensive tomorrow is really focusing on the flow and accessing the portal of our sacred middle, which is through our genitals at our G-spot zone, and really activating that energy source at the G-spot so that we are able, we are even more connected to our bodies. And it's really, really brought me into a lot of psychic energy and developing balance, inner male, inner female balance. So that workshop is geared towards that. It's a clothing arsenal class. There's some, like, self-touching as far as holding your sex center and holding and touching your heart center, because that's the whole connection, sex center to heart. And the sacred middle meditation that I've created through this understanding is the practice that we'll be doing over and over again. And you can go into energy orgasms, develop your psychic strength, as well as your inner male, inner female, yin-yang.
Oh, wonderful.
Fun class, nice.
Wonderful. And you also have a book out called The Sensuous Mystic.
Yes, I actually did that years ago. One of my friends, my first web designer, my photographer, who's passed away years ago, and I love him so much, David Lowe, I used to call him at the end of my day and tell him about my day. And he's like, girl, you got to share this information. I can't believe the kind of work you're doing. So I sat down and I started writing down case studies of people that I actually worked with and the groups that I ran. I'm very explicit in the book, and it turned into The Sensuous Mystic, Uniting Sex and Spirit.
Wow.
You know, and I always say, I'm Reverend Goddess, Mother Goddess, Ghetto Goddess. It's just a time of the day. It's always Goddess. So you see that throughout the whole book. You're like, she's ghetto here. She's Mother Goddess here. She's ministering too much here. She's a Reverend right here, you know.
Well, you also cooked tonight, didn't you?
Oh, well, yeah. I cook every night. And I may take 1 or 2 days off during the week, but it's just a habit as being mom. And tonight, the kids and I made, you know, buffalo wings, corn on the cob, salad, and, you know. Yeah, just like, you know, soul food by people. Well, okay, you would like it too, but.
Oh, I would love it. Of course I would love it. I love that.
I just love just cooking and making the sauce and dipping it and just eating with the kids. And my kids are 19 and 22. They're just still my kids. And we just talk about our day.
That's wonderful. It's great that you can do that. How did you become a goddess? Or how does one become a goddess?
Well, the way I became goddess, first of all, I was always goddess. You know, and even when I was in my most dysfunctional, self-sabotaging space, I remember telling my kids when they were young, go in there and clean your room and sit down, it's time for dinner. I'm the goddess of this land. I always said that. I just always spoke that way. So they teased me about that. But after, I was a surrogate and had a very heartfelt connection to healing people, I could just see blocks in people, and it just came out through being a sexual healer. And that evolved into me studying Reiki and going into seminary. And then from there, as I started to really balance the sex and spirit connection, I went into spiritual counseling with another minister, Reverend Georges, and he just really saw guidance all over me even more. And I tend to bring out erotic conversations with people, even on a very private level. You could meet me for the first time and want to tell me everything. And in that kind of format, we started studying the history of goddesses and how a person, or a man or woman, but mostly priestesses, gave themselves to the goddess through an initiation. And after my ordination, I am also a daughter of Atun. I was scratched and given my name as well. That's another ceremony I went through. But then we created the ceremony, and I did it. And that, from that being acknowledged, where two or more gathered, you know, once you create ceremony and ritual in front of a group, that spirit comes down on you. You take on that name. And then it's reinforced, and people just witness to that experience. And I became goddess through this ancient ceremony, fasting for 5 days, shaving my head, taking on vows. It's like a marriage to the goddess and to channel her message. And then from that point on, in the year 2000, I did that. I was ordained in 96 by the new seminary, and it just balanced. It just brought me into perfect balance. And then I was known not just as Reverend Charmaine, but Reverend Goddess.
Oh. Well, how were you always, you say you are naturally tantric. What exactly does that mean?
For me, naturally tantric, it's like, you know how I call myself the sensuous mystic? Mm-hmm. It's like sensuality plays a role in everything that I do.
Mm.
So I am experiencing pleasure in everything, whether I'm having a conversation with you right now, cooking dinner, doing laundry, being touched. I mean, someone's touching me, and I'm touching myself if I'm not touching them, adding pleasure. So naturally, tantric is not just about, some people have certain disciplines that they do that invoke that particular consciousness. I remember, one of the first sex I had before I had intercourse was oral sex. Is that okay? I can tell you this, right?
Of course you can.
Okay.
We're on the adult channel. We're
okay.
Totally uncensored.
So I remember.
You can say it however you want it to.
Okay, I remember having this man's cock in my mouth and thinking, oh, God, thank you. Like, bringing God into that experience.
Mm.
Naturally, it just spontaneously erupted from my body, and I was like 16, 17, feeling this. So the way I live now is like I'm naturally tantric. I don't have to read a book about being tantric. I may not even say the Sanskrit words that everyone else says. I know that sex and spirit plays a role in my life as far as my development spiritually, and the way that I think, and the way that I share myself with others, and the way that I play, and the way that I make love, and the way that I'm serious about, domestic values in my life. It comes in through tantra. I mean, I'm an at-home nudist when I can be, if the kids aren't here, when the kids are here, that's okay. But when they have company, it's like, Lord, they better make sure they call mom and tell her, because there have been some scenes in this house. So I'm naturally adding into my day sensuality in different ways, whether I'm running around with a sarong wrapped around my hips or naked at the computer, cooking, or just enjoying my conversation with my best girlfriend today. We're just laughing or feeling each other's issues. It's naturally tantric because it's connected to all things. So since being the sensuous mystic, for me, sensuousness is, in mysticism, is seeing God through that energy. Or having the presence of goddess and that energy, right? When I think of goddess, I think of the body and the body. So that's why I say I'm naturally tantric. I allow myself, and I do my best to maintain that consciousness to experience pleasure in all things. And being sensually satisfied as well, knowing when I'm done with whatever it is that I'm doing at this moment and I've had enough. That's something I try to teach people. Not taking on too much, or drowning yourself in energy, or stealing energy from other people. That's part of being naturally tantric or being sensually satisfied. I hope that makes sense, but that's really what I'm about.
No, I think that's absolutely fantastic. I think that's probably one of the best definitions and one of the best answers I've ever heard. You know, it's just truly, you know, it's truly being in the body, being one with the body, being sensuous.
And we're not separating it from daily affairs. That's the thing. It shouldn't be separated. It shouldn't be, even though I do a lot of offerings and givings around the full moon for, in name of the goddess and me embodying the goddess, it's not separate from any other day. You know, I'm in my bath, I'm walking around, I'm cooking, and I'm accessing my ability to have pleasure in this experience. I mean, I remember I had to rework my connection to dragging the garbage out to the curb, Stephen, and finding pleasure in that instead of saying, ugh, damn, I got to bring the garbage out to the curb now. But there's a purpose to it, and be okay with it and have pleasure in it. And it may sound a little silly because we don't want to separate pleasure from anything we're doing in our lives if you want to be truly tantric and evolve in your spiritual vibration. Because sexual energy is connected to everything that we do, you know, and in that we can access that pleasure zone if we see it in everything. And that's how you see God, Goddess. That's the mystic.
So it's everything, everything truly becomes an act of pleasure. And if you can bring that with you in everything that you do.
Truly tantric, naturally tantric.
Wow. Well, okay. Now, did you see the films, not the TV show, but the film Sex in the City?
Yes. The movie, the last movie?
The movie.
The only movie, yes,
the movie.
I did.
Okay. Now, this is. Do you remember the scene when Samantha was, she was, I guess she got locked out or something. Anyway, she was watching this guy taking a shower.
The guy next door.
And the way he was soaping himself, the way, you know, and he's a guy, right? And the way he was doing that, and I was like, whoa, you know, it's like I know this is a movie to get women off and everything like that, but the thing is, they showed a guy doing that, like the guy was soaping himself up. You could see, you know, he was being sensuous with himself, and of course, you know, he was Italian, and so naturally, that made him.
I wish I was there.
Yeah.
She's running down the sand, her dog runs off and runs up into this deck. She runs up and this man is taking a shower and he got that music and his soap and he's curving his body and it's like, you know, it was totally sexy. But that's sensually satisfied. You ever shower yourself? And like for me, I shower most of the time just with my hands and soap, and sometimes I may use a washcloth. But really when you're showering like with just your hands and your soap and you're rubbing your body, when you get right down into your genitals, for women, we can go between our lips. We can really clean ourselves nice. And you just feel that. You pull at yourself. I mean, all of that act of cleanliness should go with pleasure. I love running a bath and lying in the water and feeling the water run. I don't get into the bath after the water has filled the tub. I stay in the bath while the water's running.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah, that's about pleasure.
Yeah. I don't wait until the tub is full. I like to get in because, first of all, it's too hot when you do it like that. But if you're in there and as the water's filling up and you're getting used to it, then you won't be shocked as you first go into it.
A good example. But I get in. I love to have run my toes underneath the running water, throw one leg over the side. The whole thing is about pleasure. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it was just such a really, you know, that was just, I don't want to say it was like a revelation, because like you're always constantly discovering or rediscovering these things. And it's like, wow, you know, here's a guy and he's doing that and he's showering himself and everything like that and taking that slow time. And it's like, that's truly being sensual.
Well, if we look at things as not goal-oriented, but just living in the moment, all experiences can be pleasurable. If we get into the shower just to take a shower, we miss the shower and we get out of the shower. You know, I may need to get in the shower. Let's say I'm getting in the shower at 7:30 because I know you're going to call me by 8. And, you know, I jump in the shower to get out by 7:35, 7:40 because I have to be ready by 8. That's a different shower.
Right.
No, I would give myself more time to take my shower so I can experience my shower so that my mind doesn't race, you know? But when you get in the shower just for the purposes of cleaning the body, we're not really feeling the water brushing across the face past a second. We're not feeling it flow down our shoulders. You know, showers are very good aura cleansings, and if we can stay conscious and the water flowing across our bodies and the hands moving across our bodies with the soap and feeling the different textures of our skin when we do that, you can really bring yourself into a nice inner male, inner female balance. And it's natural. These are things, this is not like, you know, I have to buy a book and figure out how to wash my body. We're right. talking about just taking your life right now at this moment and eroticizing it through with the consciousness of Tantra, and that's self-love.
And that's another important aspect, not only of Tantra, and being, I like that, the sensual mysticism, as opposed to like, you know, the old fashioned idea of a mystic, you know, it's just hidden somewhere, you know, maybe out of a cave somewhere, or maybe on top of a mountaintop somewhere like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we can't get to it, just that only them up there have it. Yeah, nah. That's
no,
not fair
I think
anyway.
You have to come. I think this is truly one of the most powerful ways. But in terms of self-love and bringing that greater sense of love into oneself before you can actually bring it to somebody else or to the world?
Well, you know, I kind of went a few ways in my own work. As part of just going into this line of work was an act of self-love for me. And in the beginning, the very tools that I have were the tools that actually healed me. And my way to give back was to, and also to keep myself together, was to learn this and, or make it, I don't know, legal or certified or whatever you want to call it, and then be of assistance for others. And that's self-love. And, you know, and when I'm responsible for maintaining my livelihood with something that I believe in, believe me, you're right on point. You're taking care of business, you know. Then you get into this joy aspect, because I think that most of us strive to do things in our lives that make us happy and want to bring us into a place of love. Then when we get into the sex act as a spiritual path, masturbation or masturbating another person or intercourse, all these things that we do is really about sharing love. And there are things that we do when we say love or we say energy. You're either giving energy, taking energy, or sharing energy. And I think that's part of love as well. Like, sharing love, giving love, or taking love. And that could be like, you know, if my daughter comes and she gives me a kiss. My son gives me a kiss. They're giving me love. I'm receiving that love. We hug each other. We're sharing love. When we get into understanding that that's how human beings are relating to each other, when we get into the sex act, we get into our personal play, we're getting into the most powerful energy source. And the energy, sexual energy, is the strongest energy that evolves us quickly, especially when you get into choosing a person to share sexual pleasure with. That's the individual that you're going to really evolve spiritually with quicker than a family member that is by birth in your family. When you get into divinity is free will. Now you're choosing someone to share your energy with. You're choosing them from what I would consider a righteous judgment place, that I know what I need in my life, and now I'm choosing you to share this energy with. So now we're really going to evolve even quicker in sharing pleasure with each other and sharing love. And now we go into that space called eternal ecstasy through our orgasm. So all of that should be considered loving. You know, when I call it my morning masturbation meditation. It's like my cup of coffee. It's about love. I'm not masturbating because I am lonely, needy, maybe horny, and maybe because a full moon is coming and my whole body swells, but it's never about lack. It's about love, self-love, and exploring my body and finding new ways to have orgasms to take me into that bliss state. And when we look at it as a morning masturbation meditation or evening prayers, you know, I really use these kind of words because that's really what's happening. We're really speaking to our body spirit and sharing ourselves in that way. And our energy field kind of incorporates that consciousness that we share with it when we're bringing out that and bringing up our erotic energy. And And when I masturbate, I go into my colors, I breathe, I feel pleasure, I touch my nipples, I go into my pussy, I move all over my face, and I have like really nice places on my body, my neck, my upper chest, above my breast, I really like to touch my arms, well, I like everywhere. But the places are easy for me to reach without having to sit up if I'm lying down, bend down if I'm sitting up, you know? And that brings me self-love. It heals parts of my body. It releases stress. It gives me the energy I need if I need to get up. And then I may go into a fantasy of something that I can create or something I've done with someone that's brought me a lot of pleasure, or I just stay with my body. Or I may even say a simple prayer to myself. These kind of things turn me on. You say what turns you on, but they should be at a place that's really incorporating more of that love vibration until I climax. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like to hold on to it and do my sacred middle meditation that I teach, and that pushes the energy up my spine even more. And then I hold on to it, and I have like mini bursts of orgasms in my chakras throughout the day, and it really happens. I'm standing at the kitchen sink, and now I'm getting this pulsating sensation in my pussy as moving into my second chakra and into my heart. I'm like, oh, I cannot stop to go masturbate right now. So I'll squeeze my Huey in, I'll squeeze my PC, and move it all the way up, and channel it through my body and move right out. That's all about love, me taking the time to figure it out from my body. And then when I'm with someone else, forget about it. It's beyond bringing God and Goddess into the bedroom with you. It's beyond bringing the angels in, because we're really giving each other all this energy, and you lock into like a nice flow with each other. And that's where the growth comes from, because now we realize that we have this ecstasy experience with someone. It is possible to have this kind of sharing with another person, and we walk on water. You feel like you're floating when you have experiences like this. And that's the kind of stuff I do in my groups.
Why is it so, oh my God, why is it so, well, I probably know why, but why are we not more like you?
Well, there are there are a lot of people like me, but maybe not really like Ghetto Goddess, because I really feel like I keep it real. Sometimes I have to be told, like, you know, yo, Goddess, we really like what you're doing, but could you, like, hold back on some of the language? I'm like, but this is the word that's connected to how I'm really feeling in this moment, you know? So
yeah.
I think that we, as tantric spirits out here in the world, raising the vibration for all of us that have suffered through sexual misinformation and sexual damage, we need to, the same energy that collapsed people is separated sex and spirit. We need that same kind of vibration to lift the energy back up. And sometimes we have to be a little bit crazy and kick it off the cliff in order for people to hear it. If I have to say pussy, I have to say pussy. You know, if I have to say I'm a mouth whore, then so be it. But that's what I am. So I bring that energy in and I share that with the group vibration, and the group vibration can feel it. So I may be one like me that can inspire 10 or 20% of people to be who they are. You know, and it doesn't have to be the same level or even the same way that I am. But it does, we do need to go into what I call ownership into our own space. And where you can also, you know, I'd say sin is going to bed not happy with who you are.
Right.
So your vibe and the way that you are, it is meant. And the only way that energy that you have is going to be channeled is through the way that you take you are with your body and the way you share it with your body. And like what you're doing here is creating a forum for people to come out and express who they are. I mean, you know, you're going to look up in the sky one day and you're going to say, oh, what's that? Is that a bird? Is that a plane? Oh, wait a minute. That's Reverend Goddess's pussy. Because that's where I'm going, into the sky with my pussy. Because I think we should all be looking up in the sky and seeing lingams and yonis everywhere. That's the way we should be living, because that's the only reason we're out here doing everything we're doing. It's because of passion, because of connected. And when we want to have sex with someone, we want to reach a spirit of oneness, of consciousness, of ecstasy, of godness, of godlihood. And that's what we should be doing. That's what we are doing anyway. It's just no one's saying it. If I start praying and I want to get naked, people thought that was kind of crazy. But that's where I feel it. So everyone doesn't have to be exactly like me, but I think that if you're listening to this message, you can hear it. I know there's 20% of you, 50% of you are like me. You may not be expressing it the same way, but, you know, they're doing it because we're all out here, you know, and a lot of us out here all the other people you've spoken to before, out here putting it out there the way we need to. I just happen to be Reverend Goddess, Mother Goddess, Ghetto Goddess, you know, doing it this way.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I knew this was going to be a good show tonight, but I'm really taking in everything you're saying.
Good, thank you.
And I just wish there was more that I have, you know, well, you've met my friend Susan Crane Bacos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she just, we were exchanging emails today. She said she's getting letters and questions from people in their 20s, in their 30s. How can they keep the passion? How can they bring passion back? And I think some of them are starting to realize that bring it back, they never had it in the first place. And it's like, how do you bring it back, but also how do you make sure you have it in the first place?
I answer that question because, you know, I mean, I'm always going into this kind of space, but original blessing, okay? Mm. Just from the beginning, we need to come back into the space where we're born blessed. And being born blessed by the creative energy of Goddess, spirit is already in us, and that spirit is connected to sexual energy. So I would think that how a person would allow themselves to have that passion is to realize they were already born with it. When a child naturally touches herself or naturally caresses another person because they want to feel tactile sensations is going on all the time with little children. They want to touch and feel everything and everyone. And we shouldn't be creating boundaries and stopping that energy flow. Because we stop that energy flow from young people being able to experience pleasure, no, don't do that, no, don't touch that, no, that's not good, we already start to shut down the energy source of pleasure. So we need to realize that that has happened, forgive these mixed up individuals that, you know, cursed our energy, cursed the human population, and I can go on, I don't want to talk about that too much, but, you know, when you then come back into owning our bodies and going back into original blessing, then what you do is you can take yourself into a space where that passion isn't just about how charged up you're feeling, okay? Because sometimes people think passion is just that urgency to connect with someone. And it's not just about the urgency. It's the honor. It's the worship, you know? So we need to, you know, every day when I'm cooking my love meal for my kids, we're doing tending to the normal affairs of keeping a house and a home. That's not just about the urgency of, oh, my God, tonight when he comes over, I'm going to throw him down. He's going to be buried deep inside of me. I cannot wait. But it is the same intention. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same intention. And that's what we need to recognize, because if you just live off of the energy of the urgency, that can cause you to go into a level of addiction when now you're trying to fight or chase that energy or that desire more than you understand how this body is actually blessed. So I would say, you know, there are forms of love, caring, respect, responsibility, and knowledge, self-love activities that we take for ourselves, and the way that we bring the energy into our relationships, always allowing us to realize that relationships constantly grow and change, that because you meet someone today, that person is not the same person next week or next year. And people get conditioned and they get controlling in their relationships, and they want that person to remain the same way they were when they first met them. And when that person starts to change, coupleship vibrations break apart. People become afraid. Passion goes. First thing to go in relationships when passion is leaving is the kissing.
Ooh.
Second thing, they'll maintain all that other functions of the house, and then it's the sex. Then if they only have sex, they only have sex for the goal and maybe only one position. So they stop worshiping. You know, so how we keep that, bring up that passion, bring passion into our lives is by the first understanding that we are originally blessed, and that being blessed, born blessed, came from the sexual vibration, and that energy is in our bodies, and that we honor ourselves through the forms of love and having techniques and steps that we do to keep ourselves being in love with ourselves through the way that you eat, drink, you share yourself with others, and you keep doing that, and then you ritualize your lovemaking. What I mean is, you know, create a sacred setting. You know, I mean, put some candles in the room. Act like it's something, someone you've been with for 10 years is still special to you, because they are. All that kind of new excitement things that you bring into your relationships really invoke the passion. And then you'll say, wow, this is really cool. You know what? What would it hurt for you to pray over your man's dick? what would it hurt to say, Goddess, please receive him? What would it mean for you to drink from that pussy, you know, and just lay your lips and lap it all around her lips and pussy and stretch it all out and say, oh, my God, this is my gift. Well, what would it hurt? It wouldn't. It would only add pleasure. Oh, my God, can you imagine what a woman would feel like if a man's laying between her legs praying at her body? Just try it. Try it. You will breathe some passion back for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, and also, I'm looking at some of the other workshops we have. Oh, okay, now, well, I do want to talk about the Lingam Intensive.
Beautiful
Lingam. And that's going to be Friday, September 25th.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here in Jersey. I've done tons of them at Phoenix Temple in New York, and they always get sold out, booked. You know, it's so much fun. Lingam is penis, cock, dick, hard one, any name you can think of. I love it. The men come, and women come, too, to witness the class, take part as much as they can, take notes, to learn this. I think it's important for all of us to know this. But I teach, like, the virtues of the Lingam, the reflexology of the Lingam, how to lengthen your Lingam. But ultimately, the Lingam is a yang energy, and it is here to serve. So once you have that erection, you are here to bring and give and serve pleasure towards your partner. So once a person, a man, understands that, it releases themselves from that energy where they are taking energy or taking pleasure from the other person. Once you get your erection, Stephen, your thoughts should be about how to please, not about how good it's going to feel to you. What's next? No. It's about how to give to this person. Yang energy is the protective energy, the service energy. It is the gift. The virtues of that is about kindness, honesty, wisdom, you know, trusting the process of your Lingam when it's hard and when it's soft. It knows how to give. It will give to its best ability. It will stop when it needs to, you know. But of service is what it is. And then I teach the guys, you know, and I ask guys throughout the group to be my model. So do you think I have a problem getting a model?
I don't think so.
No. I have to pick. They raise their hands, I pick one. Throughout the evening, I pick different men all night. It's people of variety. We have a lot of fun with it. And so then I teach them the reflexology. And the reflexology is just like, you know, your whole shaft is connected to the organs in your torso. So I pump the penis, and I just grab my hands around it. Just take that dick like it's mine, because it is. And I just put my hand around it, and I squeeze it 2-3 times. And then I just try, you know, when I'm squeezing, I'm pumping blood right into the head of the penis. The head of the penis is considered the mushroom. And then when you do milking, what you're doing is you're milking the mushroom. You take your fingers, like in the middle of your fingers and to the tips of your fingertips, and you're just stroking just the mushroom up and down. And that's just to start to thicken the head of the penis, which is the mushroom. And then you go to the side of the mushrooms, not at the shaft, just on the side of the mushroom head, and you're stroking the sides of that. Then you go like an inch underneath the head at the shaft, and you squeeze. Then you go to the middle part of the shaft, and you squeeze, and you go to the base, and you squeeze. And then you bring your hands all the way up, pump, 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 right in the middle of the shaft, go right to the tip of the cock, and you do it again, because the tip of the head is the heart organ. So when you're stimulating there, you're stimulating your heart. And when you go to the side of the head, that's the lungs. So when you're stimulating the side there, you're stimulating your lungs. When you go just underneath there and you squeeze, that's your spleen, pancreas. And right in the middle of your shaft and you squeeze, that's your liver. And when you go right to the base of your shaft and you squeeze, that's your kidneys. And then I go right up the shaft again, and I pump, pump, pump right in the middle to bring blood back into it and expand the mushroom. And I do the process over like 3-4 times. That's reflexology. What that's going to do, when you pump pump the penis really good and you get that head nice and wide with the blood flowing in, and then when you do just the milking, that alone will expand the width of the mushroom, because a man's dick should have a wide head, wider than a shaft. That's going to be the perfect penis to go inside of a pussy and to bring the woman pleasure. Penetration is very important when the tip is wider than the shaft. and you can make that shaft wide because the dick always grows. You may stop growing at the age of 30, but your dick is growing until the day you die. And if you know what
really?
I know, yeah. Because you know why?
What?
Because what is the lingam? What did I tell you you're meant to do here? You remember what I said?
Yeah. Pump.
Huh? Pump. Serve.
Serve, yeah.
Serve, that's right. So in serving, you didn't know God just knew what she was doing. So that dick is going to keep growing. That's why there's always ways to keep it growing to the day you die. Listen, if you can keep somebody pregnant to the day you die, you need to keep that dick strong so you could be able to get the women to get them pregnant because you need all these offspring out here, you know? I have a couple for you if you want me to. So then, when you do that over and over again, it balances your organs. You feel you have what we call inner balance. Now your organs are balanced. Now once you get that, then you can go into your normal masturbation routine, okay? But if you notice in your masturbation routine you're like leaning to one part of the penis and not the other, you could start to throw yourself out of balance. But if you have a nice routine of the reflexology, you won't throw yourself out of balance as often because you're doing this inner balance first. And the lingam intends, I go through that, I go through the other exercises, and the guys love it, the women love it, and I just keep doing it because they keep asking for it. And I do it in my personal life, I do it in my sessions. I mean, you just do it because it's so important. If you know what brings a man into balance, and women, we know what brings us into balance, and when men learn about the yoni, it's the same way because it's all natural, actually. We're really touching ourselves and stimulating organs, but we need to know. We need to be conscious. Once we're conscious of our actions, you know, that brings us into really good focus. When we're being ignorant and we slip up and we make things happen, that's cool. But now we are really empowered by understanding what our techniques are doing for us and why. And then you evolve even quicker and you gain wisdom.
Well, I certainly feel I'm gaining wisdom tonight.
Are you gaining anything else? I'm kidding.
No, absolutely. I just the opening part of your talking about sensuality, tantra. To me, that was just so important to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you got to hear it over and over and over again, even though you might do it, but it's really important to hear it.
Yes.
And actually hear it and feel it. And just sort of like bring it all in, but I love what you're doing and the work you're doing, and looking at further at the workshop at the listing, what are some of the ejaculation issues that you have found?
More often, it's premature ejaculation,
mm-hmm.
And then there is IMO, inhibited male orgasm, when a man cannot ejaculate. But more often, it's the premature. I do teach the ejaculation for a person that wants to keep his semen if he doesn't feel there's a purpose in giving it. But when a man is dealing with premature ejaculation, they experience a lot more anxiety than a man that is IMO. Now, the frustration a man develops in inhibited male orgasm can become greater over a longer period of time when he feels he can't give his gift. That can be pretty frustrating. But premature ejaculation is one of the most popular issues, and it can be very misunderstood as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, severity of premature ejaculation is a person pulls down his pants and he's ejaculating. Seen
right.
it? To the point that some men don't have the issue of ejaculating too soon until they enter. And once they're in penetration, they're ejaculating. A good exercise, obviously, we all know the Kegel exercise of the PC muscle. That's a good
right.
exercise to holding back ejaculation because you're developing the muscle strength. And that's the muscle you would use if you were urinating and you wanted to stop the flow, you would squeeze. And then that's the same muscle you would practice over a period of time, you know, not when you're urinating. Only that urine exercise can actually be done only one time during a urine flow, and you only hold the urine for 5 seconds and you let it go. It's a very good exercise, but only once in a while. And then, you know, the exercise, like if you were to take, so after you urinate, or even if you're just sitting and your dick is pretty relaxed, not when it's pretty hard, okay, but when it's relaxed, if you take your penis and you kind of smack it on your inner thighs a little bit, that can desensitize the tip of the head for a person that's experiencing premature ejaculation. Don't do it to the point that you have pain. But if you smack it, you know, 4 or 5 times, you know, every time you can remember, you will notice that you will last longer. And, you know, the guys that go through premature ejaculation, is some of it is learned behavior. Again, remember before how I talked about goal-oriented activities, like you get in the shower to shower and get out, rather than getting into the shower and experiment, right? Well, a lot of people, once we become sexual, especially, I would say, you know, masturbating in the beginning for young people wasn't at all about orgasm or ejaculation, because we didn't know what was going on. We were just experiencing our bodies, and then something happened.
Right.
But what's the program, especially in men, is, especially young men, is they have that ejaculation, like, oh my God, so they go to masturbate, they don't even know they're masturbating, they call it jerking, touching themselves, to make that happen again.
Right.
So once you become goal-oriented and into just getting aroused for the ejaculation, that's a very tough program. The body spirit recognizes arousal, ejaculation, arousal, ejaculation. It skips all of the steps in between. So in my sessions, I go into reprogramming the person's body so that they can receive stimulus, being stimulated throughout the entire body, so they're not localizing sensation at your genitals. That, remember, sensually satisfied, you know, being able to have that sensation, because a man's arousal goes from 0 to 10 in, like, seconds, when a woman is minutes, hours, half hour or so. You know, it takes us a little bit of time. You got to start sensualizing us with the phone call. And so a man is sitting here, and he's got this erection, and now he's ejaculating, and he needs to recognize that that erection is just is about, first of all, that dick is here to serve. So it's not about him getting ejaculation at all. Okay, we're not talking about the primal instinct to have children. So you're taking that erection and that pleasure, and now you're experiencing, you know, some men know enough to, when they're stroking their lingam, they're going into the belly, they're feeling it in the thighs, and they move their chest. That's wonderful when a guy can do that. He's not just focused on jerking at his cock, okay? Because you're doing that, you're getting very, like, animated, you're getting very focused on ejaculation, and you're going to continue to go to PE as soon as you are experiencing and sharing energy with another person. So once we are able to, when I have a person lie down on a table completely naked, and all I'm doing on the back of their body is stroking the hair, stroking the neck, stroking the back, and having them focus just on those sensations. If your mind wanders into what is she going to do next, what's going to happen, stop the session. Be honest enough to stop the session, because you're giving yourself a real chance. Then they can start to see how their mind wanders, and they sexualize. And it goes on from there, Stephen, and then you can develop strength. You know, I teach them the virtues, you know, we go into the PC. You also have the sphincter muscle hole as well, which is closing the opening of your anus and releasing. That's another great, great energy source to help with holding back ejaculation and bringing the energy up the spine. That's part of the sacred middle meditation. But you can go to my YouTube. If you go to YouTube.com, you type in Sensuous Mystic, you'll see my videos.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. As much as I can share there, you know, being rated PG.
Right. What is the, for the opposite of premature ejaculation?
The inhibited male orgasm.
Yes.
Yeah. That's emotional. That's emotional. That's tough, you know, because you're dealing with some elements of, you know, a man could be angry with a woman, angry with his mom, or I had a millionaire. Millionaire had no reason to be concerned about any issues financially, but he just couldn't come because he just needed to have enough money in his bank account. Constantly checked his bank account, constantly was obsessed over money, and that, you know, money and finances, success in that way is in our root chakra. So he was definitely, he was holding on to his semen like you couldn't believe. He barely could ejaculate 2-3 times a year, because there are men that can that choose to ejaculate 2-3 times a year and ejaculate the rest of the time. But when you're dealing with a situation like this, and a man wants to come and he can't, you're looking at stuff. So this man was a millionaire. He's making tons of money and was for some reason traumatized at the fact that he might lose it all. So he was very fit, worked out a lot, did his work, made his money, and could not give his seed to his girlfriend. I was frustrated by it. He came for sessions, and we worked on it. And actually, in the amount of time I worked with him was a lot. He ejaculated a handful of times, you know. And it was really a lot of talking and understanding. And I, to this day, I can't tell you if he can choose to ejaculate when he wants. The times that we've been together, it was work. Even with him understanding why he's holding himself back. Then you have the ones that are not necessarily as severe as that, but they want to come and they can't. And it takes them a while. So, but they do eventually come, but it may take them 2 hours or so. Girls, let me tell you, that's a blessing. I wouldn't... If a woman can take herself through her 9 levels of arousal, she can ride that. I mean, I've had penetration for 2 hours or more, and I've been able to ride that and have a couple of orgasms. One night, one of my guys, we were together for like 5 or 6 hours. I had like 15 orgasms. He had like 3 ejaculations, you know? So if it's something like that, the guy's not really IMO. See, IMO and PE. PE is ejaculating before you want to. IMO is not ejaculating when you want to. So the IMO for like a guy that's taking 90 minutes, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, it's because he thinks the woman is tired. And some women are, because we're programmed to think that we should come when a guy comes, or we come before the guys and then maybe they're going to come because we came. That's more of a, normal orgasm, not really the heightened orgasm for women. So, you know, my body, my yoni is, wet, and I'm breathing, and I'm relaxing, I'm enjoying the pleasures around my body, and I've had penetration, even in missionary position, for over 1.5 hours, and it was fine, you know? So we got to release ourselves from the programming of how sex is profane, where we're looking at it just as a goal, and release the man from the performance anxiety that he has to do this. And everyone should understand, even a man, if you don't ejaculate, if a woman, like guys say, did you come yet? You know, a lot of women say, no, I didn't, but I really enjoyed it. And women start to feel the pressure that they want me to come. And this is why women started feeling that need to fake. We should never have to fake an orgasm. We can have so many of them anyway, so why fake it? If you don't want to have intercourse, don't. You know, if you are making love, make it, because we're making miracles happen when we do that. So, you know, if a guy is having anxiety around, I'm taking too long and she's getting tired, and maybe she's not, compatible, or maybe we need to look at really what this lovemaking, this energy that we're building is about, and create some sex magic. So I would say relax the yoni. Men, take your time and enjoy the pleasure. Release it. If you go in too much, I got to come, then you're going to have to stop the lovemaking. And then IMO can be quickly reversed.
Yeah, I have to say that's me.
IMO?
It can take me a while.
Well, Stephen, you know what I told you before. Okay? All right, then. So stop it. That's all right. Not a problem. And
no,
when everyone doubts everything, just Astroglide gel is great.
Yeah.
Okay, because sometimes if the yoni gets too dry, if yoni gets dry, women should drink aloe vera juice.
Mm.
Okay? Baking soda baths are very, very good for maintaining pH balance and keeping you wet. All right? And if women are experiencing that kind of dryness when they're having sex, they don't have anything, then it gets swollen and it becomes painful for women. So they need to have gel there. But if you're doing the kind of exercises I'm talking about, you're not going to experience that. If it takes you 2 hours or so, Stevie, you ain't said nothing. That's fine. I told you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, don't even worry about it. It's all good. Now, 3 days now, we might need to take a break and jump in a lake naked and put some, flowers in our hair.
Well, you also mentioned the term ejaculation. I understand it. All I know is it happened to me once by accident, and I did not like it.
Really, especially if you're not intending it. And, see, the actual ejaculation is like the spot between the genitals, well, the testicles and the anus, right by the PC.
The tank.
Just what?
The tank.
Yeah, the tank. Just beyond the PC, there's a little dent. It's like a little hole there. Yeah. And when a man is feeling close, if he presses in there, because what happens is once you're filled, the prostate starts to pump and pushes the semen into the urethra, into the penis, and out the tip. So when you press there, you're blocking that semen from being able to go into the penis. And it pushes it right back into the body. and
right,
it goes
right. But essentially,
right
all you're doing is you're sending it into the bladder.
You're sending it back. Well, it's going back into the system of the body. You think you're just pushing it into the bladder and peeing it out?
Yeah, that's what I've.
Had the ejaculation experience because you did not press the point, right? The acupressure point.
You know, I really don't know how it was so long ago. I really don't know how it happened or how I did it. All I know is that it felt really weird, and it took me like 3 days to get hard again and to pop again. And when I did, it hurt like hell when it did.
Yeah. Because that might not, you might have had that, what they call it, it's like a retarded ejaculation.
Yeah, retrograde.
Yeah, that's different than ejaculation.
Right.
Yeah, that's different because that is not comfortable. You don't want that, you know. But some men have the experience of orgasm, ejaculation, and nothing ever comes out and it's gone back into the body. That's different from we're talking about pressing the point and consciously choosing to push it back into the system of the body. And getting the protein and nutrients. Yeah, that's two different things. When you finally invite me over, I'll show you. I do that in class in the Lingam Intensive. I ask for a model who feels that they're close to ejaculating. Can someone raise their hand? And do you think I have a problem getting a model?
No.
Okay, I just thought I wanted to ask them once. So I always ask, is anyone ready? They feel like they're going to pop any moment. So I get a few hands in the air and I pick someone. And then they lie in front of me on a mat. And I press the point. First, I stroke them for a little while until they feel like they're going to go. And then I press the point. And they have the ejaculation experience, the orgasm, but it goes right back into the body.
Mm.
And that's the ejaculation. And the people that I've done it with, they felt fine. It was different. And a couple of people have reported the only reason it actually was different for them because they're used to seeing the semen come out of the penis. Because they didn't see it, it was almost like, well, did I just have that experience? You know, but yes, they did have the experience. It just went back into their body, and now they're receiving the benefit of their nutrients, of the protein. So what that other experience you're talking about, that's the retarded ejaculation. That's different, and that can slip up and happen to men often. And you don't want that. You see, you need to reflexology, you know, massaging the groin area, all those acupressure points in your groin area, and with the testicles, all that's really important. Guys, you know, they lay their hands down between their legs for a reason. They're unconscious as to why you're grabbing hold of your stuff. But it's really about, you know, maintaining that balance and keeping that area healthy. And they're just like in the triangle area of our genitals. We should be massaging in the groin area. You should be pulling at your testicles. Women should be pulling at their lips. So that way, the more you pull at their lips and massage the clit area, when you become aroused and engorged, it grows and you experience more pleasure and you can give them a pleasure. Same thing that you're doing. And you know what your lingam is here to do, right?
To serve.
That's right. See? You're learning already.
That's right. Well, do you have, I know there's debates within Tantra and Taoism about ejaculation versus non-ejaculation. What are your feelings about that?
I'm open to a person being responsible for their own choices, and I call that righteous judgment. So a person needs to look into themselves and decide, what do I need in my body? Because there's a law, it's called truth. Truth demonstrates itself in your life. So when you attempt something in your life, you see if it works, if it shifts you in a way that makes you feel better, and it should be positive. And then you say, you know what, this might just work for me. And it works for you for a season, or it works for you for a lifetime, whatever that may be. But you're the one that's responsible for what you bring into your life. I don't really, you know, I'm an interfaith minister not because I really study all the religions, even though I had to in seminary. I'm an interfaith minister because of the belief that everyone has a right to choose. So if I work with a person that says, I never want to ejaculate, I just want to learn how to hold it, I'm going to assist them. The person says, I want to ejaculate every time. I would try to bring some balance into that. If I have a man that ejaculates 5 times a day, I try to get him to once a day. Because when they do ejaculate, they release a lot of energy, unless there's purpose to the energy. If a man spills his semen outside of a person's body, he should bless it. He should say, bless my semen, or great goddess, receive me. Once you go into consciousness that way, your semen has purpose, because it has a life energy there. So I do support a person's choice, and I assist them the best way I can. I had a guy that was seeing me for years, and his purpose in seeing me in the beginning was to stop seeing me. I'd never had a person say that before. And in the beginning, he would see me once a week to once a month. He says, believe me, the less you see me, you know that I'm developing myself and I'm having a better relationship with my wife. And we ended our sessions, you know, a while ago, but for him, the less he saw me, the better. I honored his understanding for what he needed to do for his life. And I was available for him when he needed to see me, and I assisted him. I even wrote about him in my book. So as far as our person chooses how much they want to ejaculate and whether they should or shouldn't, I don't go into a particular school of thought, even though I've been trained in many, but it comes through my way. You know who I am, Reverend Goddess, Mother Goddess, Ghetto Goddess, just the time of the day.
So it's really what the individual feels.
They should have that righteous judgment for themselves. They shouldn't be so blind that they don't know what they need for themselves. You know, we're coming into a mature state spiritually, a mature spirit. So that's why I say yes.
Cool. Interesting. That's fantastic. I want to hear from you. Yes.
Well, when was the last time anyone worshipped at Yerlingam?
It's been a while.
Really?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not even offering it as being of service, just in people witnessing your erection and your glory? You don't even,
I'm
like,
trying to get to that point.
Okay. When you decide to do it, let me tell you a great thing. You get some olive oil and you get some water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mixed together, and you say, okay, I invite someone here, or maybe a couple of people, to come and to wash your lingam with this oil and water. It's a prosperity ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to cleanse the lingam and to be of service. Now, I'm talking about worshiping the lingam. I'm not talking about you being of service yet. So to worship the lingam, it's a great ritual that people do, and then you just have them, and you don't do it. You have someone do it. And this is a great way for you just to have that experience and let them worship by washing the lingam with oil and water. You know how Jesus' feet were washed with oil and water?
Yeah.
I'm sure his lingam was washed too. And I would gladly dry your lingam with my hair. So,
wow.
And you do that, and that's a great way to reintroduce that energy that you want to share with others.
Yes.
And there's no expectations of what you do with it after. Just having that actual experience, a very good ritual for people to do with each other. And it lifts that vibration up. And it is a prosperity ritual. It's a healing ritual. So
that's,
I just want to give you that.
Absolutely. Do you do that during the Lingam Intensive?
I don't do that during a Lingam Intensive. I would do that more in a private session.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not really part of the class.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I may create another workshop just with that alone.
Oh, I'll sign up for that one.
Okay. You know, I'm going to practice with you first to make sure I do it right.
Yes. We'll book that one. I'll book that workshop.
Love you, Stephen. I'm so glad you had me on your show tonight.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here with me. I'm so honored. We had such a great conversation. Actually, no, we should have. It's too bad that conversation couldn't have been recorded. But we always have a great time talking. And I consider you a true blessing in my life.
Thank
that,
you.
I finally have met you, and after seeing you on the web for a while, but it's just truly a blessing that I have you in my life.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, same here, baby.
Oh. So tell me one more time the website.
SensuousMystic.com. S-E-N. SensuousMystic.com.
And people can contact you there.
Yes. Email me. I'll get their messages and sign up for my classes. Come to my services. I have second Sunday services based off Goddess philosophy and fourth Sunday clothing optional services where the body is always a holy temple. So they'll find me.
Amen.
Amen. Goddess blessings.
Well, thank you so much, Reverend Goddess Charmaine. Oh, what a lively show this was for our Thursday return.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. And we will return next Thursday with more live programming here on Mondo Eros. This is Stephen Otero speaking. Thank you, and good evening.